I'm Roger Gilchrist from the CRM R&D team. So the session I'm going to talk about today is around how we integrate to Exchange from CRM and what we've hit in the past and what are our strategies for taking that further forward. Let's click it, doesn't work very well. So I'm going to position that from talking about the context of what are we trying to achieve, why are we looking at this, what are the challenges people have faced with the way that we've done it in the past, and then move on to talk about the actual strategy of what we're doing going forward. And the reason for that is that we've got a lot of features now that are all addressing in this area, and what we're seeing is quite a bit of confusion of where those features fit and how they fit together. So hopefully I'll try and help clarify that for those that may not be aware. So to set the start of this, the context of this is that what we're talking about is receiving and responding to customer requests or tracking of information about customers that are within Exchange. So emails, appointments, tasks about customers, and tracking and syncing that to and from Exchange and to and from CRM. That's the context. We've been doing that for a while, and that won't come as a surprise to, I would imagine, most of you, particularly those of you who've been using things like the Outlook client or the email router. But all of those mechanisms have had challenges in the past, and we're fully aware of those challenges. And the role I have is working with our big customers around those, so I've been engaged in digging into why we've had those problems, what we can do to avoid them going forward, and that'll be a lot of what I talk to you about today is why the things that we're doing now should address many of those challenges. But first, set the context of those. What are those challenges that we're aware of? And part of that, to start with, is what are the mechanisms we've had in the past? So the mechanisms that we've been using have been either the Outlook client or the email router up until relatively recently. They were our original mechanisms. So we had the email client, which allowed manual tracking, and you could select what you wanted to track in CRM, but then would synchronize information back into CRM. Or we had the email router that would work on more rules-based tracking of information, so all emails, and tracking that back into CRM, and then synchronizing onwards. But they both have limitations. The Outlook client requires client-side installation. It can offload some of that syncing into the email router, but it requires that client-side installation. The email router avoids the need for that client-side installation, but does have limitations of the selectiveness of what you want to track. But if I also look at those in a little bit more detail, I'm sure any of you have used the Outlook client, have heard many of the stories and many of the challenges we've hit in the past, and we kind of recognize that there's a number of symptoms of classic Outlook client challenges. Many to do with the way that Outlook itself works, many to do with the environment in which Outlook is deployed and trying to get all the different things like all the different plugins, network connections, installations, all the variety of things that can influence that to a happy working state. So some of the symptoms we see around this can be things like slow startup when people publish metadata, for example, and it needs to reload all the metadata each night. We see Outlook client stability, which has been bugs on our side, but we've fixed certainly a lot of those, if not most of those. But we also get influenced by things like Outlook itself not being patched up to a full level or other add-ins to Outlook that can influence our stability. We also see things like slow form startup and being able to launch a form from Outlook being slow. We're aware that we hear stories that the Outlook client itself has quite high resource usage on the machine. It requires the level of the machine to be quite high. And takes away resources from other uses you might have. And then we get challenges around synchronization issues and things like records not being synchronized or duplicates, which can, again, often be down to the environment and something glitching on the machine around a conflict with another add-in or DLL not being updated around Outlook itself, for example. So we're kind of aware that there have been a lot of challenges around that. So we're very much aware of all of those and looking to do something to address those. In a similar way, if I look at the email router, the other big thing that's changing these days is that used to work a few years ago where we had the Outlook client sat on a laptop and that was your primary usage scenario. But if I look around this room, I can see a lot of you doing what most of us would do, which is work on a mobile phone, and you're not always tied to a laptop, and more often than not, wanting to open up your laptop to actually synchronize your information to CRM isn't particularly ideal. Also, people have an expectation that information you're gathering or updating is a lot more rapid. They're not going to wait for you to get your laptop open this evening to update your information once you finish at the conference. They want it here and they want it now. And you want it here and now as well. So those kind of ideas and people moving towards bring your own device, where multiple devices come in, are all things that have influenced this as well. The other side of this we're seeing is increasingly beyond information workers, like probably many of us, but in things like service industries, people are moving much more to the idea that it's not just about responding to an email, but it's much more about starting to understand how CRM can actually let you respond more effectively to the interaction you've had. So not just let you in Outlook reply to an email and track what you did, but give you more insight so that you respond to that email more effectively. You actually treat it as a case. You know the history with that customer before you reply. You have insight of how better to more effectively answer their query. So that's the other side that we're looking to do, is make you more effective in dealing with the interactions you're having, not just track them once you've done them. But the other part that's been causing a lot of confusion is, we used to have the Outlook client. We've now got server-side synchronization. And the number of times I hear people saying, well, we're going to turn on server-side sync, and I don't need the Outlook client anymore. And the challenge with that is not necessarily understanding all the subtleties and the details of that. And I'll go through that in more detail. But the most simple one of those, for many people who were in, say, a banking scenario, investment banking scenario, where they're manually tracking their emails, and yes, they want to offload a lot of the resource to the server. They want to synchronize when they don't have Outlook open, but they still want to manually choose which emails they track, which appointments they track. They don't want to track everything. They want control of that. Now, server-side sync itself doesn't give you that. And that's often been a challenge, which is, I'm going to turn on server-side sync, and I still get that, and haven't thought through, well, where do I initiate and say, that's the email I would like to track, that's the appointment I would like to track. Now, we have answers to that, but that's often been a confusion people have got to without thinking through the details and deployed server-side sync and gone, well, now what do I do? So hopefully through this, that'll help clear up for anyone who has kind of missed that subtlety. We'll give you kind of an idea of where the different bits play together. But off the back of that, we still have the Outlook client. We have server-side synchronization. But we have other tools now, like CRM for Outlook, and we have folder-based tracking. So the idea is many of these things work together. They don't work in isolation. They're not one-offs, but they work in conjunction with each other, all to play a part in the role for that particular user type. So from that side, moving forward, what are our goals with this? Well, purely from an Outlook and a client point of view, we want to reduce the overhead on that client. Now, that's in a number of ways. When it's running, we don't want it to take as much resource and overhead on the machine itself. But we also want to minimize the deployment challenges. We get the challenge of getting everything in stable state with the Outlook. I see it a lot in terms of trying to get there, keeping Outlook at a patch level, seeing all the other plugins that may be there from other partners that interact with each other in a way that's stable. We fundamentally understand that that causes a stability challenge. Now, we've looked at this extensively and looked at the point, and we can keep playing effectively whack-a-mole to try and work with ourselves and the AV partner and with another add-in for various other things and constantly be trying to make sure we're not interfering with each other. But when we worked with the Outlook team, one of the things they've recognized is this kind of richness isn't really how they intended that add-in mechanism to work in the first place. So we're always going to be playing a bit of whack-a-mole if we keep going with that. So one of the strategies has been to move to a much lighter deployment model, which is where you'll see with the CRM app for Outlook, or move to models where there's no client install at all and you handle things in a completely different way. So, but to be clear, we still intend to support the Outlook client, as in an add-in for Outlook. We still intend you to let you be able to do what you need to do while in Outlook, just in a much lower impactful way, which will hopefully, by not having that level of deployment needed, not having that level of installation there, working much more natively with the way that Outlook expects these kind of things to work going forward, we give you a better, more stable experience. It will also allow us to go into more mobile scenarios where there is no Outlook installed, or it's an Outlook app, not the full Outlook client. And going over time, some of these other mechanisms then build into being able to work with other channels, so chat and social and things like that as well, so that you've got a unified channel coming through. But part of this that often gets missed is, and the reason people miss the idea that you need something alongside server-side sync, is they haven't necessarily stepped back and said, what are all the capabilities we need? And not every customer has these. Every customer has slightly different needs. But we tend to break this down into four categories of need that this space is trying to deliver to. So the first side is when you get an interaction or when you record an interaction, tracking it back into CRM. So you set up an appointment, but you want CRM to know about it. You want other people who are working with CRM to know about it too. The second part is then syncing changes as they happen. So as someone updates maybe an appointment or for you, or someone creates a contact or changes a phone number for you, you want that synchronized back out so you're aware of changes that are happening too. To get to be more insightful about your customers and respond more effectively, part of this is about viewing data as well. And so being able to access related information as part of from CRM as part of your experience is useful as well. Now, not everyone does that. Many people just use this as an audit mechanism. They've got email, that actually is the way they work, but they want to track so they've got the audit record. But increasingly, we see people as part of that wanting to know a little bit more to do that more effectively. And as part of that, then, is to assist with that response. So moving into other areas of the product would be things like being able to embed things like knowledge bases as well. So what I'm going to talk about now is for each area of synchronization tracking, what it does, but as importantly, what doesn't it do? So where you talk about, for example, well, let's just install server-side sync. Well, what are we missing? What are the other options that I could use with that to address those kind of missing gaps? But before I do that, I think it's useful to layer out the different capabilities we've got and talk about where in that stack they play. So if I look at the top part, the first part of this is typically like tracking. How, if I've got something in Exchange, do I tell CRM I'm interested in it? And we go from the Outlook client, the standard big, thick client, Outlook client that we've always had. Evolved many, many times over the years, but still embedded and installed locally on the Outlook client. And that's still the richest experience, although it comes with some of the overheads of deploying and maintaining it. We also have email tracking rules. And they've been there for some time as well, which I would track all emails, or I would like to track emails from my known contacts, or I'd like to track nothing. And they're fairly kind of thick areas. They don't have lots of granularity to them, but for many uses, they're still very valuable. And you don't need to have any interaction then to track what you're doing. Another one that's been there for some time is the forward mailbox. And this often gets missed, as I'll talk about later, about the idea of forwarding on an email into a different mailbox and then tracking it there. And that offers its own advantages, I'll mention later. Again, a feature that often gets missed and has deliberately been designed for this scenario is folder-based tracking, where you can set up folders in email particularly. It only works for email. But you can set up a folder in your Exchange mailbox and then just drag emails to it. So you don't need a client, an Outlook client or installation from us. We track and manage all that at the server side. And the particular scenarios we're aiming for here is where you're using, say, an iPad mail app or an iPhone mail app. They don't let you install anything there. We don't need to install anything there. But you can drag and move that mail into one of those folders, and then we can go and track it on your behalf. And that works incredibly well for things like project-based people, where I work with a number of customers. So any email from that customer, I'll drag into the folder I've got for that customer. I automatically track it to that account. But the other one, and more of the future of the equivalent of our Outlook client, is the CRM app for Outlook. And this is using a newer mechanism from the Exchange team and the Outlook team, which lets us embed capability like we used to for the Outlook client, but into a variety of different applications, from the OWA web app, to the thick client Outlook app, to Outlook.com, to Outlook on your phone, Outlook on the Outlook app on your Android device. It lets you embed that UI into all those different devices. Now, it's got some limitations and some options later, and I'll talk about those a little bit more later, but it's basically our future of that client-side UI for interacting with your Exchange data in various forms of Outlook. But underpinning that, how do we do the synchronization? And you don't want to have the client open all the time, so having those client mechanisms isn't enough. Now, if you've got thick client Outlook, then Outlook Sync is still there. So Outlook client-based sync, where you don't want to set up all this server-side capability, you don't want to turn it on, you just install Outlook and you want to use it. That is still there, and that still works and still supported. But increasingly, we're moving to server-side sync, where we take care of that at the server side. You tell us where to go point to your Exchange server, and we'll take that over and do that synchronization for you. And that will take advantage of the fact that it's always there. So even if your laptop's not open, we'll be constantly running and synchronizing that out to your Exchange And then whenever you open up the phone, you've got your latest contact information there, for example. You've got your latest calendar there as well. The other one is the email router, and I should point out that while we haven't formally done this and we haven't got a set date for dropping this, we are deprecating the email router. That's not something we intend to support going forward forevermore. That is something that we intend to shift across into the server-side sync and take the server-side sync mechanism going forward. Not least of which, as the clue says, the email router is only about email. And these days, most people want to synchronize other information as well, like appointments and contacts. Now, beneath this, the other side is about viewing. Now, Outlook client is still the richest way to get to all the information. You've got that area where you can link to all the different kinds of information that you've got in CRM and use that as your gateway into CRM. But for most people, what they actually want is to see that information in context. So if you go to an email about from a particular contact, you want to see what you know about that contact. Now, that might be the knowledge bases they've viewed. It might be the activities you've had with them in the past, the cases they've got. So it could be one of a variety of things, but it's in context of what you're doing with a particular contact. So the CRM app for Outlook isn't quite as rich in some ways as the old Outlook client. It doesn't have the breadth of connections, but actually it's more insightful in terms of the context of what you're doing. And that is our replacement for how we see you viewing information going forward, and we'll only get richer over time. But the other part of this, as I say, is the tracking side is still the bit that's missing by server-side sync. And if we look at all those different options, they all come with slightly different benefits and constraints. So we look at the Outlook client. The Outlook client has the full range. Emails, appointments, contacts, and tasks is still the breadth of what we're talking about in this space. Whereas we look at other places like rules-based tracking, it's only email. If we look at folder-based tracking, it's also only email because the calendar in Outlook and the tasks view in Outlook don't support folders. But the advantage of folders is it's available on any device. Every device lets you view those folders and drag them into it. CRM app for Outlook, as I'll talk about a little bit more later, at the moment only supports email, but will be coming with appointments and contacts. But the primary reason for that is that the mechanism that Exchange offers to let us do this doesn't offer that until we get to later versions of Exchange. So we need to do some, we've got some limitations until Exchange gets to that point. The forward mailbox is in the same sort of space. It only handles email. That's all it does because it is a mailboxed concept rather than an appointment or contacts. But it can be quite powerful because it's got the least implications around there. All it needs is server-side sync. So it's very powerful in terms of the limits of what you need to make it happen. But the other ones are things like the tablet and phone client, where you can embed things on the phone and actually create things on the phone directly there. So work and get to create things in CRM and then have them naturally track through from there. So that's the other angle of this, is come from working within CRM itself rather than working in Exchange and then having it tracked to Exchange instead. So there's a variety of different options, and as we go through them in more detail, you'll see how the dependencies they have, but also how they work with the underlying frameworks of other areas. So what I'm going to talk about now is, because they are slightly different, talk about email specifically and how those different options play. And then in a moment, I'll talk about more about the other areas of appointments, contacts, and tasks, because those two categories work quite differently from each other. But within appointments, contacts, tasks, they work much more similar to each other. So if I talk about emails, the first thing that often surprises me is people not really stepping back and thinking about the difference between an individual mailbox and, say, a queue mailbox. And some of this comes from the past, which was the way that people used to do that would be you had a team and you had to set up a shared mailbox for them because all you had was Outlook and Exchange. So what you did was you actually set up a mailbox and had everybody accessing it through Outlook. Now, the good news of that was it was technology everyone already had. The downside was, well, how do you make sure both of you don't reply to the same email? How do you get in and make sure all those things are tracked in the same way? How do you, in a CRM context, have follow-ups and all the related work of that, particularly as people are coming in and out? And then when you do get to things like mobile devices, how do you get to the shared mailboxes? It's not always that easy. So the first thing to think about is recognize is when we look at centralized mailboxes for groups of people, then it doesn't necessarily make sense to monitor the mailbox and use it in Outlook itself, but use something more like some of our other areas, like the email to case, and then handling it in CRM and using things like the Service Hub to interact with that queue, because then you can manage all the ownership of that. The other side I've seen sometimes with that is people set this up using a distribution list. And then we go and try and monitor the mailbox, but there is no mailbox there. There's no concept of a distribution list that you can actually access. It is going out to multiple people's mailboxes when you actually look at it. So this is the first thing to think about, is what are you really trying to monitor? And in most cases, then, we can handle both these really well, but understand which one you're doing, because the client-side tracking of this doesn't really make sense in centralized mailbox when you want everything tracked and you want everything processed. Clicker, is it? It's clicker, just a little bit flaky. So let's start with the basics and understand how that works. So this is old school Outlook client, full installation Outlook client. Now, any emails that are created in CRM are then sent via the Outlook client. So the first part of that is you create them on CRM, they sync out and send from the Outlook client. If you've got emails come into Outlook and you want to track them, you press track, use the manual button, and then that immediately tracks this through onto the server side of CRM and creates the appropriate record back on the server side of CRM. Now, those emails are read-only on CRM for good reasons, that you don't interact with them, you don't change them after they come in, they're a record of what you were sent. But the other option the Outlook client lets you do is those rules-based tracking. Track all emails, track contacts, or emails from my known contacts. So it will sit there and work through, which gives you rich functionality around email. The downside is you need the Outlook client installed. The other downside is you need it open all the time. But it is a rich capability. It's just those implications of installing it and managing it. So the first part of that was to move and, as we say, introduce a server-side sync, at which point all the folder-based tracking actually becomes an option now. We don't need anything there. You can have that just track through from folders. The rules-based tracking still applies. Now, both of these now apply whether you've got Outlook open or not. You don't need that running to get that information there. So you can be doing this from a mobile device in parallel. Sending emails works now through the server-side sync. So if you create something in CRM, it'll send automatically. If you do that off, say, a workflow, or if you do it manually, it'll send directly through the Exchange server rather than having to have the Outlook client open. But this mechanism still uses manual tracking through the Outlook client. So it still has that richness of being able to do that, but it still has the downside of needing that install to do it. So what's the downside if you drop that? And as we talk about, if you drop that server-side sync, then you have no way to selectively choose which emails you want to do. You can only rely on the rules-based or use the folder-based tracking where you drag and drop things into different folders. So that's an important thing to recognize, is server-side sync requires that other mechanism, whether it's folder-based tracking, Outlook, or something else, to initiate manual tracking of emails. And that's often the bit that gets missed. And the reason it's missed is you clearly need to provide some interaction. Server-side sync is happening on the server. We need somewhere to capture the manual action if you want it manually tracked. So we need some user interaction point, which is where we've introduced the CRM app for Outlook. And the CRM app for Outlook is designed to work in conjunction with the server-side sync. And again, this is lost sometimes, is that it cannot work without server-side sync. This only is a UI construct that works with Exchange. All of the interaction back in CRM is at the server level. So all of that is done through server-side sync. So if you track something in the CRM app for Outlook, that records through to CRM that something needs to be tracked, but then the actual ongoing synchronization occurs at the server side using server-side sync. It isn't sitting running all the time. It's only there when you actually press the UI, because it's a browser-based add-in into Outlook or Outlook.com app, for example. So it's the way we're looking at this moving forward, to provide a rich, low-touch user interface into Outlook and all the other apps. And it is definitely the huge direction we're focusing on, but it does still need that server-side sync there. You also need to be aware that it's something that for online-to-online is available. Later this year, we'll be rolling this out into some of the other mechanisms for the CRM app for Outlook. Server-side sync is now available online-to-online, on-prem-to-on-prem, and online-to-on-prem, and vice versa. It's available in all those deployment models, whereas the CRM app for Outlook, while it depends on server-side sync, is rolling out slightly differently. But hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have the same for CRM app for Outlook, which will be in the latest release this year, obviously. The other one I touched on was the forward mailbox. Now, the advantage of this is it's like rule-based or the folder-based tracking, but you monitor one mailbox and you can forward mails across it. Now, the advantage of this can be that it lets you set up rules in Outlook, for example, or in Exchange, or it lets you run manual rules to effectively forward something onto the other mailbox, which would let you just monitor that central mailbox without deploying all of those other complexities. It's not the best option in every case, but it'll give you flexibility if you need to. It was more designed in the old days for managing some of the scalability of this, but that's less of an issue these days. But it still gives you some options if you don't want to do anything actually out of the client side and just let people run rules to move things around. It is only for email, though. One of the areas we are aware of, and we know that people struggle with, and we are looking what we can do here, is around outbound tracking options. Now, we talk about tracking inbound, but often what gets caught is, well, how do I track the emails I send to somebody? And so if you're in Outlook and you send an email to somebody, that's great, because you can press track. You can literally just go in and select that you want to track that as well. So you track your sent ones. The other option is from CRM to create it in CRM in the first place, create the email in CRM. And as we've got richer, and you'll see this later this year as well, we get even richer in the email editor, then you start to reach parity of the professionalism of the emails you can send. Whereas I know in the past it's been quite limited what you could do in CRM, so people were very loath to create the record in CRM. But now that we've got signatures, now that we've got HTML editors for the email, we're getting much richer in what we can do from CRM. And it adds value in terms of other ways. So if you want to link a knowledge base article in, you just click on that and you get embedded insights, so you get a better, more effective response. So if you create it in CRM in the first place and send, then you don't have the problem of tracking it across because it starts there. The other mechanism we've seen done is by copying yourself. So you send it out, but you copy yourself and track in. Well, why is that important? Well, because things like forward rules and things don't work on outbound email. Unfortunately, Exchange only offers you rules on inbound email. So we could do things like forwarding an email across the forward mailbox to be tracked. But that doesn't work for outbound emails because Exchange doesn't let you pick up the rule like that. So one of the techniques for this one is that by copying yourself, you're effectively getting an inbound email. But when you're copied on it, you forward it across. So it gives you a way to do it. But we recognize some of these are workarounds. We are looking to see whether there's a better mechanism. And in particular, the one we are missing is more of the rules-based tracking for outbound. So that's email. Now, appointments, contacts, and tasks, in many ways, work very similar. But there are some subtle differences that are quite important to be aware of. Now, I'm going to talk about appointments more generally because they're the more general case. Whereas contacts and tasks largely work the same, but there's a couple of subtleties to the difference of that. And if I look at appointments, the first one, again, is with Outlook. So the key thing here is it's not a one-way thing. It's not a read-only thing once you sent it. An appointment is something that lives and breathes. So you can create the appointment in CRM and track it across to Outlook, or you can create it in Outlook and then manually track it and have it synchronize across back to CRM. Now, in some ways, the richer model is to create it in CRM, because then your rules can pick up anything that is that you're a participant in, or anything that's in your business area or your team is involved in. You can choose to synchronize that out to your Exchange calendar, depending on what context you want. So you can effectively apply rules to synchronize things up to Exchange and Outlook from CRM. Whereas from Outlook down to CRM, you have to manually track them. We don't have a rules mechanism to say, find every appointment that happens to be linked to somebody from this customer, for example. But the way it works with Outlook is the fact that you've got the UI to do the manual initiation, and then behind the scenes, we've got the Outlook client sync. Now, the downside of that, again, is Outlook needs to be open to synchronize. So if someone updates an appointment and tells you the time has changed, unless you've got Outlook open, you're not going to know about that. It's also got the overhead back on the client, so that synchronization running on your client desktop as well. So the first obvious optimization to this is to carry on using the Outlook client, but use server-side sync. And very much like email, it works the same way. What we're doing is just offloading the synchronization elements of that onto the server side. Now, again, though, the downside of this is that although you've got all that information you can track across, we don't have those rules to track them back from automatically from Outlook. So you are relying on the manual part of that. Again, though, the same limitation occurs. If you don't have a client here, then the only way that you can get appointments back to your Exchange or your Outlook from CRM is by creating them in CRM and synchronizing them up. We don't have rules that will go search your Exchange calendar and pull anything automatically. So without a UI in appointments, that can be quite limited. There are scenarios that's just fine where you've got, say, a centralized booking team doing your your appointments for you, that can work quite well. But in scenarios where you're booking your own appointments, that is a limitation. It is a limitation that we intend to fix with the CRM app for Outlook. Now, in the same way as we do for emails, and I've just spotted a flaw in this, that should say appointments on the left-hand side, not emails. In the same way we do for emails, for appointments, what we do is you can go in and you can view it and you can track it. And then you can view the details of the context of the contact who's there. So the same sort of mechanism applies here. The same principle will apply here. There's one core limitation at the moment, though. With Exchange 2013, Exchange doesn't offer this capability with appointments. It's coming in Exchange 2016, or it's coming in Exchange 2016. We therefore, up until now, hadn't offered this in CRM either, because until Exchange offered it, we couldn't. In our release later this year, that's the intention is that we will embed this in the appointments as well. And we will do that both for appointments and contacts. We still won't do it for tasks, because there is no way Exchange doesn't offer us that ability for tasks yet. But for appointment and contacts, we intend to offer in our release this year the ability to view against an appointment and contact CRM information and let you track it through. But for those, you'll need Outlook 2016, and you'll need Exchange 2016, because that's where they embed that capability on our side. But we'll have the ability, but we'll utilize those server side. If you're in Exchange Online, that's fine. If you're using an Outlook.com app, that'll be fine. The latest version of those will automatically do that as well. And as I say, this is something we embed natively through all the different apps because it's done by Exchange and the Outlook app teams. It does still require server-side sync, though, because the actual synchronization occurs under the covers. So the next part of this is, they're all the kind of options. Well, where do we actually see these applying? And what I'll talk about is where we see some common scenarios for usage patterns and where we see those tools actually applying in the real world. So the first one is, if I look at an information worker, so I'm talking about the kind of person that's probably not like many of us because we're out and about, but someone who walks into work at the start of the day and sits at their desk for the rest of the day, a kind of a bank branch manager or something like that, that's typically sat in that space. They're going to have emails and they've got contacts and they've got appointments they want to track, and they want to record those in CRM because that's the corporate knowledge base. But they also want to have that broader insight about it. So the key is all that information, but they don't need to do this in a mobile way. Now, the classic way that we used to do that was the Outlook client, and that kind of worked, functionally, it worked really, really well. It gives them that richness of functionality. They spend a lot of their day in Outlook anyway, so it embeds that information straight for them. The downsides are the deployment overhead, and we recognize increasingly, as I say, the deployment overhead people have got of diverse landscapes of machines, of add-ins, of particularly virtual desktops these days, being compatible with all those things have changed dramatically over the years, and just creating that challenge of trying to stay current with it and trying to not let conflicts occurring. So that's the downside of that approach. It's rich in functionality, but the admin overhead of trying to maintain it is a challenge. The first part of that is realizing, well, the resource overhead is one thing. So if we move to server-side sync, that reduces that overhead at least. But increasingly going forward, if getting that client out there is a challenge, or the compatibility of that's a challenge, well, actually, just using folder-based tracking can be there. If someone's just tracking their emails and they want to drag their emails down and just track those, that's a great solution to that one. Just completely avoid all the deployment rollout challenges you've got. But more realistically, the strategy we see around this one is to avoid that completely and say, you work in Outlook, we get that, that's fine, but we will use the CRM app for Outlook. That avoids the overhead. It still gives you what you need, which is the ability to track your information, but also view related information. And we're using server-side sync behind the scenes to actually synchronize ongoing changes to it. So the pattern we would see for an office information worker would be over time, particularly after the end of this year, once we've got the appointments and contacts there, is the CRM app for Outlook with server-side sync. Now let's talk about probably more like ourselves, which are mobile. We're not always sat at the desk. We might be in a different country. We might be in a hotel. We might be out at a customer. We might be out at a different branch, depending on your job. So we do work in offices, but we also work remotely as well. We may well have laptops. We may have other devices as well. We are looking to track our emails and appointments and understand when they've been updated. But we want to share that information with other people so that they know what we've done or they know what needs to be done when we're out of the office. But we need to do it remotely. So in this scenario, the combination occurs. So we've got Outlook and Outlook.com, and we can do this, the CRM phone for tablets. So when we've got our tablet or our Surface device, you can go and see the richness of what you're doing from a CRM perspective. You're not necessarily using Outlook to get into CRM. You're using the CRM app for yourself for that. And then you can use server-side sync and folder-based or rule-based tracking to record things behind the scenes. But if we want to get a little bit richer than that, then we can introduce the CRM app for Outlook, which lets me do that more manual tracking as well. So it's kind of getting away from that idea of the thick client for Outlook being relevant. And unlike the information worker, the combination of server-side sync and CRM app for Outlook is very powerful. But bringing into play the CRM for phone and tablet lets you have CRM information offline, lets you access that information more directly as well. The other scenario we see, though, is more specialist scenario. So field workers, and you'll see this with our field service offering now, which is the idea that for most cases, yes, I want to see my appointments, I want to see my contacts, but I've also got specialist tasks I want to do. Now, all of the Outlook side of tracking your appointments and emails, for example, stays the same, but it adds that ability to do a very specialist task, and that's where we see the task-based experiences coming through, where if you're out on a field service and you want to record that the job's done, for example, you don't go into your appointment necessarily to do it. You go in and do it directly through the app for a task instead. The other one here, as we talked about earlier, is the fact that queue handling and shared mailboxes is something that we see as being handled very differently. And in the old days, that would have been handled through Outlook and people going in and sharing a mailbox. But that's not how we really see this going forward. So the way we would see this would be the fact that you've got Exchange. You've got that mailbox there. That might be a centralized mailbox, but you wouldn't go in directly to the mailbox to do it. What we would do would be use server-side sync and case creation rules to automatically track those emails and convert them into cases, with the idea that then you get all the other benefits. You get things like SLA running on them. You get the ability of the dashboards to track those. You can use things like the knowledge-based connections to look into those, queuing to distribute the work. So that for the people who have got the head around the idea of using CRM, but haven't necessarily got the head around the translation into cases, this is a jump we see that people need to make for many benefits, and it's the idea that you stop using Outlook to actually interact with the emails, but use that just as the trigger to generate a case or an opportunity or whatever it may be, but then interact with that directly in CRM itself. The other scenario I see quite a lot is appointment booking, where someone, say, rings in, and I might be a mobile worker, but somebody is ringing and booking appointments for me. I might be a mortgage advisor, or I might be a field service agent. And the idea is that someone's trying to find a slot in your calendar and book it into you, but they're not going to call you to arrange that. They do it centrally. But you obviously need to know that, and you may well be able to influence that back and change some of those around or reject them, but you need to see what's been booked for you, but they need to see what you've booked as well. So what we typically see around this would be the idea that one of two different models, where either Exchange is the master record, everyone uses your Exchange calendar to see whether you're busy. Everyone books it straight into Exchange. Or as I'll show in a second, the other option would be CRM as the master. But if Exchange is the master, what you'll see is the appointment bookers go directly into Exchange and record the appointment in there. They can see what your other tasks are, they can see what other appointments you've already scheduled in, and they'll schedule it around it. Now it's got the advantage of seeing all the times you're free or busy. But it's got the downside is that that's not automatically going to synchronize back to CRM. And we know about that limitation. It's something we're thinking about. So it does come with the downside, which is that you then need something to actually go in as yourself or someone else to go in and manually track those things. So that could be the Outlook client. But more often, we're looking at and saying that CRM app for Outlook would be the way to go for that going forward. So people are booking into your calendar. But for you to almost recognize it and make it visible to everyone else, you would need to manually track them. Which is where, for this scenario, more commonly the other model applies, which is that you use CRM as the master. Someone comes in and will basically say, I'm going to look at that customer in CRM, and I'm going to book the appointment and book it against you. Now, the upside of that is that they've got direct access to CRM. They don't need to go into your calendar. We can do some cleverer things with things like field service and project service, where we go look at the range of resources that could handle this and schedule the right people. And then you automatically get appointments once they're allocated for you, synchronized to your Exchange calendar. So you don't need to manually do anything. That comes out. Now, it does have some challenges. Again, we've got the challenges of needing the prerequisites for the CRM app for Outlook to view things. You need server-side sync. But the biggest challenge is we recognize we don't have that free busy time. So anything you enter directly into Exchange, you manually still need to track in. So if you've arranged a doctor's appointment, you need to track it in and record it and let people know not to book that time in for you. So that's kind of the trade-off downside of that. So really, just as a summarization, what's the right tool to use will very much depend on what the scenario is. And for many of our customers, we find that it's no one-size-fits-all. They've got different combinations of these people. So using the combination of the tools is the right approach. But increasingly, we're giving you more choices, and more choices that have less dependency in terms of rollout, less dependency in environments, even though some of them require more new technology, but the actual rollout process is much more straightforward as a result. The other side, briefly just touching on this, is the fact that direction of sync. People tend to talk in the sentence of, can I track or can I interact with email? Can I interact with contacts? Well, actually, the direction of tracking synchronization is quite important. We do a lot from CRM to Exchange, where because we've got filter rules, you can decide what gets synced out to you, whereas tracking it backwards from Exchange to CRM, we've got less control of it at the moment, but you then need a lot more manual interactions to do it specifically. So that's kind of one thing to think about when kind of planning for this. Appointments, contacts, and tasks are something that we absolutely handle with the Outlook client, and we intend to handle at least appointments and contacts moving forward. But with CRM app for Outlook, while it's a much richer model in terms of deployment and approach, we are dependent on some of the device support or the versions of support to get there. So Exchange 2016, Outlook 2016 in particular. But the flip side of that is then available a thing we can do out onto all the different apps. So you can go to Outlook apps on your Android and do this. You don't need Outlook installed on there. Another pattern that often gets missed is around private appointments. And it's not a particularly communicated feature, but we have seen this requirement a lot, which is say, I've marked something as private in my Exchange calendar, and I want to synchronize it, but I don't necessarily want everyone to see it. But the challenge we've seen is there's completely conflicting requirements about what people actually want to do with this one. We've seen that where it's a doctor's appointment, so I want to record it and track it back to my Exchange, so I'm saying to everyone else, I'm busy. But I don't want you to know why. It is a doctor's appointment. It's private. It's personal. I just need that blocked out in my calendar and email, in the CRM, so that you can't book anything else in there. But I don't want you to know why. We've also seen the other scenario where it's an investment bank and it's a mergers and acquisitions type challenge where we want to synchronize it in. It's private. We don't want everyone else in Exchange to see it as reality. CRM, everyone should see it because actually it is a CRM concept. I just don't want it open in my calendar in Exchange because anyone can see my calendar to see whether I'm busy or not. So I'm marking it as private because I don't want other people to see it in the organization. In Microsoft, our calendars are open generally, so anyone can see what I'm doing unless I lock them down. It doesn't mean that my CRM record about the customers I'm engaging with should see some of the more sensitive meetings we're having. So what we've come up with as a solution to that is we do sync the private flag. So if you set the private flag in your appointment in Exchange, we will synchronize that value back to CRM. But you can then do what you like with it. And we've got a number of customers who've very successfully implemented solutions around this. So I've seen this with things like VIP customers, where they've got celebrities for a bank, for example, or a healthcare. Not everyone should see what that's about, that meeting's about, or even the fact you're meeting that celebrity. That's sensitive information. So they mark it as private in Exchange, we synchronize it back, and then they run a rule, which is anything that comes through that is marked with private on it is automatically reassigned out to a team in a separate business unit and then shared with the person who created it in the first place. So only very limited people can see that. It may be there's a merger and acquisition area and you move everything out there and a whole team can see those things. It could be that you just do nothing with it. It's just useful to know. But the private is something that's being used from an Exchange point of view but not from a CRM point of view. But it's something like, say, that if you come across that challenge, it's just useful to know. We do sync this so that you can use it. There's a reason we don't do anything with it, because the requirements are so diverse, though. The other one that often catches people out is around deleting of appointments. So if you've got an appointment in Outlook or Exchange and you synchronize it to CRM, We've seen scenarios where people complain that they've deleted it in Exchange and it's been deleted from CRM, and then it's been deleted from other people's Exchange items as well. And there's actually a reason for that that's not always understood. It comes from people really just thinking about things when one person is involved. One of the challenges we've got is the fact that for appointments in particular, multiple people are typically involved, and multiple people of those could be using CRM. So one of the challenges we've got is that when someone tracks something in CRM, the logic is if you track it to CRM, you're the one that wanted it in CRM in the first place. If you then delete the appointment, it's no longer relevant. So we probably should delete it from CRM too. The thing that you put in, you took out because it's no longer something that exists for you anymore. The challenge with that comes is what happens if someone else is also using that, also tries to track that item. And if we delete it out of CRM and their sync filters say that if you delete it out of CRM, please delete it out of my calendar, well, we'll go delete it out of there too. That's actually correct behavior. The one challenge we found is what happens if that person was the organizer. So I'm Roger, I create an appointment for Fred as well. Fred tracks it. I've got that same appointment. I'm a CRM user. It deletes it from me, but I'm the organizer. Well, what happened if I also shared it with Jane? Well, if the organizer deletes it in Exchange, that deletes it from everybody. Whereas actually what might happen is if Fred deleted it, he just said, I'm not going to the meeting. I personally am not going to that meeting someone else arranged, particularly if it's a big meeting with, say, 10 people involved. I can't make it. I'm out at a conference. He didn't really mean to take it out for everybody, but the kind of ripple effect through means that does get deleted out from everyone's calendar. Now, the way we handle that is that we only actually delete it back from Outlook if you were the owner, or you were the owner of the record, or if you were the organizer. And it's deliberately to try and address that challenge, but we will always have that subtle conflict point where if you are the only person that tracked it in, should you have the right to delete it back out again? And that's what we intend. So if you're the owner, you're the first person to track it, we do that. There is a simple workaround to this we've seen a lot of people do. And again, it's only a workaround in the context of you understanding the scenario that you've got. But often the scenarios say, well, look, we know that just because they were the first person to track this, if they're not the organizer, we don't want them to accidentally delete it. So what we'll say is, we'll move that off. So if you were the person that first tracked it, although CRM will naturally make you the owner, we'll actually reassign it over to the person who was the organizer. And the organizer is tracked through, so you can see who the organizer was. So one of the scenarios here we have seen is to deliberately reassign that if that's a scenario that causes you concerns. It's not as simple as something we can naturally do, because there are scenarios where most customers do want us to delete it if the first person tracking it also is the person that deletes it. The other one we touched on briefly was around where do appointments get mastered? Is the best place for this to be held? Is CRM the right place? Is Exchange the right place? And say, it comes with a variety of different benefits and weaknesses, which of those are really the best place for you to put that, depending on how your business works, how you structure those appointments. And one of the big limitations at the moment is around that, not having the rules for tracking of emails, which kind of holds us back on some of those things. But this is as much a business process question as a technical one. So thinking about how you want to work with that, and particularly an area we're evolving as we look at things like field service and project service, kind of just understanding what is the usage pattern you're really trying to drive is quite powerful, or the primary piece here. The other one of kind of angle of this is, what are the prerequisites? And there are some challenges here, because while we've moved to a model around CRM app for Outlook, which has much lower impact on the client device, it also comes with a consequence, which is that the mechanism that Exchange is offering does have dependencies. It's not something that's been available for a long time. It was introduced in Exchange 2013, and therefore correspondingly in Outlook 2013. So to be able to use the CRM app for Outlook, you will need things like Exchange 2013 and CRM 2013. If you want appointments and contacts, they only come in when we get to Exchange and Outlook 2016. So there are dependencies around that. And these all depend on server-side sync in the first place. And the web services that we use, or the version of the web services we use, are only available in Outlook 2010 as well. So from a server-side sync point of view, you need at least Exchange 2010. And depending on your deployment model, we introduced online to online a while back, but it's only in the 2016 release that we introduced some of the other models, and 2016 update 1 where we introduced some of the hybrid models. So depending on which model and deployment model and which version of Exchange you've got, you will have some challenges depending on which version of CRM you need. Like I said, we would love to be able to retrofit a lot of that back and not have those dependencies, but in many cases, it's because the fundamental mechanism just isn't available in Outlook or Exchange to be able to do differently. Folder-based tracking, though, is an option which is much lower impact than that. It does need server-side sync, but that's pretty much all it needs, really. So it's as soon as we introduce it from the CRM side to be able to do that. So in summary, we are aware of challenges. We know that interacting with Exchange is pretty fundamental to CRM, and it's always been a really, really important feature for us. We're increasingly also looking at things like multi-channel environments, so it's not just about handling emails, but increasingly looking at turning those into cases, turning social into cases and handling those kind of interactions as well. But we are aware of the issues that have been there, mainly environmental as much as anything else, of deploying out to things like the Outlook client and handling those scenarios. But like I say, we took a long look at that of could we just keep focusing on that and fixing problems as they came up, which we can and we will continue to do. But as much we realized that the way that we were interacting with Outlook, the way that other people were interacting with Outlook, the environmental challenges that were constantly moving, the changes to moving to things like virtual desktops were increasingly just adding so many complexities to make that moving space come together in a stable environment increasingly hard. So while we will continue to chase that as much as we can, what we've recognized is that a better goal is to work and look at this completely differently and find a way that we don't need to offer as many moving parts that will influence this. And that's where we've looked at things like CRM Map for Outlook, which has no installation on the client, which will deploy out to lots of different device types and apps that gives you much broader reach across different usage scenarios. But also handle that scenario where you don't have a laptop open, a much more modern approach, which gives you much more flexibility as you're moving. So we have been listening, we have been understanding those challenges, and hopefully we are offering solutions to this. We do understand in the short term that not everyone will have those things like Exchange 2016 in place, but it is something that gives us a much better story going forward and gives you a much better story going forward. So that's hopefully something that you've got a better appreciation of what we're doing and how we're taking that forward to address that. On that note, I appreciate this is an area that often has a lot of questions and lots of people have had challenges in the past, so I want to leave time for people to raise the challenges and the concerns or any particular questions they've got either about the past or what we're doing going forward, and I'm happy to answer as many as I can. Has anyone got any questions? Can you grab the mic so we get it on the recording, please? Thank you.
Are there plans to bring tasks into any of the synchronization architecture in the future?
So we do have it for server-side sync, and we will do that. The challenge we've got with CRM Map for Outlook is that Outlook itself doesn't offer that mechanism. So we would do an add-in for it, but we need their framework there for that to embed things on the task form, and they don't offer that. So I'm not aware that there's a roadmap for them to do that. So unfortunately, no, but not because we necessarily don't want to, but the framework's not there for that. But we will do it from a synchronization point of view. There is kind of a secondary part to that, which is a lot of the time these days, a lot of it may be that you actually go into your app to look at tasks. I'm not saying that's perfect for everybody, but for lots of these things, there are other ways to skin that these days that may be more CRM-centric in approach that everyone then can pick up and do themselves rather than embedding just as a task for you over in Outlook, for example. I appreciate that's a partial answer, unfortunately. Let's say the limitations are kind of out of our control, unfortunately, though. And as I say, certainly from our side, we will synchronize it using server-side sync. Unfortunately, we are just constrained by the fact it just isn't, there's nowhere for us to put the buttons, for example, on the CRM for Outlook side. Exchange doesn't offer it. So I get your challenge, I'm afraid. We have our hands tied as well on that one, I'm afraid.
Thank you.
fair point. Yes, good point. Thank you. Yep.
Yeah, we're currently running on-prem, okay. Both Exchange and we just upgraded to 2016. We have multiple business units. Each business unit has their own instance. They're fairly small, but it's still its own instance. And then one of the business units has, well, currently four and expanding out to seven different orgs on that instance. One of the primary issues that we've had and struggled with is synchronization across if a person belongs to multiple orgs or even worse, multiple instances, because the async service locks up all the time when you do that. Are you guys aware of this, and what options do you have aside from like a forwarding mailbox, which has problems on the Exchange side for us? What other options do we have if we want to engage server-side sync?
So can I just clarify the question? I guess I picked out two potential challenges there. Having a user that is trying to sync to multiple orgs is one possible angle. The other one was when async is talking to multiple orgs, it's basically hanging up and causing problems. Did I understand those two parts right?
Both, actually. Okay. I was holding off on that question to hear what you said about the first one. But yeah, the async service does, and most of the time we found that to be workflow issues.
Yeah.
And we've been able to correct most of them. It still happens once in a while. We haven't been able to figure out why, but it's a quick service restart. And the users impacted, it's a fairly small number of users, so it's not a really high priority issue. Okay. But the cross instance, for instance, if we want to test stuff in dev, that's not possible because you can't, it's possible, but you have to disable them on prod side and enable them on the dev side. And like, there's a bunch of hoops to jump through. Is it just simply locking on the async service against the mailbox when you have two different async services trying to connect to it, or what? I've still never gotten a good explanation of why it happens or what we can do to fix it.
Okay, so you're maybe not going to like this answer, but the first part of that is the idea of connecting a mailbox to two separate orgs, we just don't intend. And therefore, some of the problems are coming. You'll actually find we're about to block it, I think, for this reason, because what we've actually found was we never intended that to work. We don't have the subtlety in terms of where we're recording things. So, for example, the same item, you could try to track to two places. We only have one place to record that. So that creates problems in its own right. What we have seen is, ironically, is the bit you're not going to like. We have seen that challenge, which is people are doing it, not always intentionally, but quite often that dev test environment approach where it's caused so many knock-on effects of we think this is tracking intermittently, whereas actually it tracked into one and then the second one tracked into somewhere else. And we thought it wasn't working. They thought it wasn't working. It was actually sort of working, just not as they expected. So I was chatting to the PM about this the other day, and actually I think we're about to lock that down, almost to give people warning that they've done it accidentally, because often it is accidental. They were doing it for test, and they forgot to remove that before they went to live, and it caused whole ends of problems. What I more normally see as a scenario for that is actually have separate dev and test users. And I think I do a lot of work with things like the big financial services customers where they have some strange rules where it is that I can't create a test user. I think a lot of those sort of scenarios are moving away these days where people are realizing that the downside of having a real AD user and a real mailbox that you sync to and you try to move between dev and test and production is actually more dangerous than having a test mailbox. So our kind of guidance for that would be to have separate mailboxes for your dev and test. The subtle case I think that I am aware of that would be more challenging would be where you've got different business units and you've got a genuine user who works in both of those business units in production. And we don't have an answer to that one at the moment. So that one is a challenge, but we don't. Yeah, I'll touch on the stability one because there's a whole load of other things on that one in a second. But did that kind of make sense? Was a follow-up on that?
Yeah, I guess the only other follow-up I would have is if you have a user who's in multiple orgs on the same instance, so it's theoretically the same async service connecting against that, is that a supported model?
So the user points to the same orgs with the same service. Yeah, no, we don't let you put that same. So the user talking to the orgs is absolutely fine. Okay. Having a mailbox sync to both of them, no, unfortunately not.
Okay, so it then do I go back and tell the businesses, yeah, you can only use email with one org?
That is our basic situation. It's an interesting feedback. I would have to say it's quite rare. I mean, I work with, like I say, a lot of the big multinationals with multiple instances in them. It's actually quite rare to do that, I'll be straight, which is why it's not hit the top of our radar. I mean, it's good feedback, and I'll pass that back, because I think I have seen scenarios where businesses have got multiple orgs. It's just quite, if you say there's 50, and I'll make a number up, say there's 50 of those customers out there, 10 of them have a user that are in both, or in more than one, and of those 10, maybe one of those would then want to track email to both of them. So you kind of, the problem space for us diminishes. So I'm not disputing the validity for you, but in the scale for us looking at it, it's just not an area that, yeah, exactly. But it's fair feedback, and like I say, I do see the multiple org scenario. I've not come across where people are really trying to track the email quite so clearly in that. But I'll pass that back as a fair one. On the stability one, I think one of the sides we have seen is there's a few things of what stability means, and I think we've seen a number of areas where, as you say, async gets locked up because of workflows, and we live inside async, so we kind of, or the server-side sync piece does, so we get knock-on impact because of workflow problems. Most of the workflow problems these days are often actually to do with the custom workflow inside it or a custom plugin or something like that. We're doing quite a bit of work to actually try to spot where we haven't quite locked that down to prevent that resilience hurting the broader system. So over the last few releases, I would hope you, and particularly if you're on-prem, you'll probably see some of the other stuff coming through to you shortly, should see improvements around that where the fundamental the fundamental impact between workflows should go down. But it is something we continue to work on. There's another way of looking at that, though, which is server-side sync in particular. And when we did server-side sync originally, we looked at it with the idea of thinking that people would be more grateful if we made sure the service carried on running than a particular mailbox. So and we were coming at it from the idea of if you've got a rogue mailbox, and I deliberately say that slightly controversially, but what we perceive to be a rogue mailbox, we would take that out of circulation rather than let the service try and keep running it with the potential impact of it knocking out the service. What we found was that what we perceived to be a rogue was actually probably too overzealous a way of looking at that. So if you got too many errors, we would treat it as rogue. Now, if you had challenges of connection, we would treat that as rogue. What we didn't really quite correctly see was if you had a network problem between you and Exchange, we'd take you out of connection, out of circulation. Well, that's we can tell that's a network error. We can tell that's transient. We probably should have just delayed and paused you for a while, not taking you out. So we now are a lot more graceful in those scenarios and say we can detect some of the things that we can tell are transient. If we're getting a I don't know this mailbox error, we're not going to carry on trying until you reset. But if we can say that the service is not responding or there's no network there, we'll park it for a while and come back to it. The other angle we saw was a load of emails that threw an error. Now, the downside of that is you get someone else who's got a problem, send you a load of junk emails, we took you out of circulation. That wasn't your fault. It didn't really impact on the service. And that email is never going to fix itself. So we could just ignore that email and never process that email anymore and put it in undeliverable. But we're not going to penalize you for someone sending you dodgy emails. And so there's a whole load of those kind of cases. But we, in hindsight, I think it would probably be fair to say we took a too overzealous approach on trying to protect the platform rather than balancing protecting the platform for everyone else versus making sure those mailboxes carry to common processing, particularly as we get to more enterprise level where they've got a centralized mailbox. You don't want email to stop. So I would imagine many of your problems were some of those in the past. And if you look at over the last four releases, that has significantly improved. Every single one of those has got better treatment of those kind of scenarios to the point we no longer as zealously knock out the mailbox, which would give you a perception it's not staying up and you needing to re-enable them. I think if you look at the latest release, you'll find that's a lot better now, I would hope. No worries? Anyone else? Not really. Technically, it works exactly the same way in many ways. The biggest one I will flag up that we regularly get is you require basic auth. And that's normally said in that kind of tone of voice with probably a couple of other swear words in it. But the problem that we've got is if you look look at it, that Exchange offers, I think it's four mechanisms, basic auth, or no auth, I think, actually, basic auth, and NTLM, and OAuth. NTLM from Serum Online to Exchange on-prem makes no sense. We're not on the network. We can't use NTLM to your server. No auth clearly makes no sense. And unfortunately, OAuth is only available for Exchange Online. So unfortunately, while we would love to do something richer, the reality we've got is of the four options that are available to us, one isn't available in on-prem, and the other two aren't available to us as a cloud solution. So basic auth is what we have to use to connect. But having said that, we do it over SSL. You can do it over Express Route if you've got concerns to keep the traffic separate and controlled. There are other ways to protect that, and lots of other connections do it. But that's one to watch for. But it's one that quite regularly will cause people a double take when they first see it. But when you break down the reasoning behind it, there's no real other option, unfortunately, at the moment. About the only other one is then the tunneling of the network. We obviously need to know the URL of your server to get to it. And again, some people go, well, it's on-prem for a reason because it's not out there. Well, it's the EWS we need to get to be able to connect to you. So they're the main ones. But other than that, not really. Norris? Anything else? If not, I'll be around afterwards if anyone wants to do it. But otherwise, thank you for coming.